There it is. All right. Took a second. Worked out some issues, but I think we're rolling now. Hello, nerds. Let's make sure that YouTube is receiving the... Hey, there it is. All right. Well, monitoring is going to be a little bit different for this episode. And I've noticed a couple of audio issues in the last one as well, so we're going to try and avoid those. But otherwise, hello. We are going to just jump right into this. Let me make sure windows are open where they need to be, and... Haha! All right. So... This is the news portion of today's episode. And we are going to start things off. It looks like we are going to be a little bit busy for the news half. Because we've got, just right off the bat here with Cosmic Book, we've got like five stories we're going to be diving into. So, let's talk about the news. Oh, and for those that don't know, I'm Generally Nerdy. This is the place that you get the live nerd news. This is Friday night. This is what I do with my Friday nights. All right. So first thing up is Christopher Lloyd has joined the Mandalorian Season 3. Lloyd, age 83, is best known for playing Dr. Emmett Brown, no duh, in the Back to the Future franchise. He will be playing an unknown role in the Star Wars series, but it is said that it will be a guest starring one, which means he'll be coming back a number of times. Lloyd also played a Klingon in Star Trek III, Search for Spock, and is known for a plethora of additional roles. Lately, he's lately seen, wow, that was clunky, the actor appear in Cyber Chase, Next Stop Christmas, The Tender Bar, which he was fantastic in The Tender Bar. You should really watch that. Queen Bees, 12 Monkeys, and more. Upcoming projects include Tank House, Super Athlete, Camp Hideout. So, yeah. Season 3 of Mandalorian will have Christopher Lloyd in a recurring guest starring role. That's awesome. Not gonna lie. Next up is a Riddler comic. Paul Dano, who played the Riddler in The Batman, is going to be writing a comic book. DC Comics announced that the Batman actor Paul Dano will be writing a Riddler Year One comic series. Dano will be paired with artist Steven Subic to write Edward Nashton's path to becoming the Riddler. I find it interesting that they went with Nashton and not Nigma, because Nashton is, if I'm remembering this correctly, Nashton is who it was for a long time, and then they switched the canon officially to Nigma. I want to say that happened a little while after the Jim Carrey portrayal, but it could be tied directly to that. Maybe that's why they went with Nashton, because Carrey's was Nigma, and they were trying to distance him. Even though, if you look, these are the same glasses that Carrey's Riddler was wearing. So, Dana will be paired with Steven Subic to write Nashton's Path, blah, blah, blah. We just read that in a 6-issue bi-monthly DC Black label. So it's going to be the origin story of his Riddler, and it's going to be Black Label, which means it is a standalone book. So it's not going to have any other tie-ins to the mainline DC universe. So interesting. I'm pretty interested. Like I've said before, I really appreciate Paul Dano. I think he is an understated actor and takes his craft pretty seriously, but he directs a little bit more than he acts. And I honestly couldn't speak about his direction because I don't know anything off the top of my head that, Oh, that's a really cool cover. Don't know anything off the top of my head that he's directed. I guess we could go look it up, but that would take up a lot of time that we don't necessarily have. So, next up, we're not going to read that one because who cares? Disney restores lesbian scene in Lightyear animated movie following Black Backlash. Okie dokie. Daredevil reboot, that was the big one that I wanted to check out. claimed. Okay, so this is rumor territory, so take anything that we hear in this article with a grain of salt. But we have rumor that a bunch of Marvel projects will soon go into production, which includes a Daredevil reboot, possibly Nova, Deadpool 3, and more. The info comes from Production Weekly, which is actually a pretty good source. Weekly, a site that claims to keep track of Hollywood filming and production information, where Production Weekly's March 17th issue lists the following Marvel, Sony, and DC projects. So we have... We have an issue. Hold that thought. Stream is live. Minimum amount of frames dropped. Everything looks to be okay. Why are we getting... Viewers will receive will experience buffering. That's unfortunate. So thank you again for watching in post. Watching and listening in post, I guess. All right, continuing on. Marvel projects that are about to go into production, according to rumor. Daredevil, Deadpool 3, Echo, Ironheart, untitled Marvel Space Project, and Werewolf by Night. Sony Spider-Man spin-off projects, Kraven the Hunter and Madam Web, and then DC, we have Blue Beetle and Gotham Knights. Daredevil reboot is happening. Rumors are for Charlie Cox will be seen next in She-Hulk. Yeah, this is just rehashing rumor stuff that we've already... And so, if we take a look at these titles, so untitled Marvel Space Project has been known for a little while. Werewolf by Night, I believe, was rumor territory. Ironheart and Echo, both we know are happening, which means we have three out of five, or what is that, six? Sorry, three out of six are rumor, and the other three are confirmed. And then we have Madam Web and Kraven the Hunter, both of which we know were about to go into production anyway, and Gotham Knights and Blue Beetle likewise. So it seems... pretty likely that this is going to be the situation. Moon Knight shows off mind-bending clip. Yeah, it's a clip. We can't take a look at it. Netflix adapting Irredeemable and Incorruptible. That's the next one we're going to dive into. Netflix announces it is adapting Mark Waid and Boom Studios' Irredeemable and Incorruptible, which are comic books that offer a different take on the Superman and Batman stories. Interesting, I've never read that. BAFTA Film Award winner James Samuel, The Harder They Fall, is set to direct a film adaptation of the Boom Studios' graphic novel series Irredeemable and its spin-off Incorruptible. Academy Award nominated Kemp Powers, who did One Night in Miami and Soul, and director of upcoming Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What? With Joaquin Dos Santos and Justin Thompson. That's already out. Part 2, maybe, is what they meant to say. We'll pen the adaptation, which will have protagonists from each series 1. So this is kind of... Oh, that's really interesting. So, created by comic book legend Mark Waid, Kingdom Come, illustrated by Peter Krause, Irredeemable was one of the most impactful series of its time, running for 37 issues and selling over 1.5 million copies, a deconstructionist remix of the genre. Series dramatizes, wow, I can read, how the world's greatest hero, the Plutonian, snapped under the pressure of his responsibilities and charted a dark path to become the world's greatest supervillain. Irredeemable's sister series, Incorruptible, flipped the coin and followed supervillain Max Damage as he responded to the Plutonium's evil by gradually transforming himself into a superhero. Created and written by Waid, Incorruptible ran for 30 issues and sold over 1 million copies during its run. That sounds super freaking interesting. we should, that is worth checking out just based off of that synopsis alone. Batman box office passes $500 million. Will it hit $1 billion? Yeah, probably. Kevin Feige keeps Moon Knight out of goofy MCU. Sure. Judgment Day trailer teases Avengers versus X-Men versus Eternals, which we will have to talk about in the next proper episode. Batman coming to HBO Max in April. Aman Vellani thanks fans for Ms. Marvel trailer support. Here we go. Secret Invasion series. Marvel Secret Invasion series coming to Disney Plus streaming service will feature both Don Cheadle and Martin Freeman. Samuel L. Jackson, who returns as Nick Fury for the show, confirms the news while appearing on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast while talking about the cast, which includes mention of Emilia Clarke and Ben Mendelsohn. Happy, Sad, Confused is also where Samuel L. Jackson was talking about the potential of Mace Windu coming back to Star Wars, but Samuel L. Jackson has been talking about the return of Mace Windu since the prequel series or the prequel trilogy. So I think that rumor can kind of be put to bed, at least for the moment. But blah 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 blah. Yeah, basic information. Those two are coming to the show, according to Samuel L. Jackson. Madam Web casts Euphoria's Sydney Sweeney. 24-year-old actress who is known for HBO's massively popular Euphoria series joins Dakota Johnson, who plays the titular character. Some fans are thinking, so apparently the Dakota Johnson thing finally went through, because last we heard she was in negotiations, not actually signed a contract. So take this with a grain of salt as well. Some fans are thinking Sydney Sweeney could be playing Black Cat. I don't know about that. In addition to Madam Web, Sony also has a part of its Spider-Man spin-off universe, the Jared Leto Morbius movie, coming out April 1st from Kraven the Hunter. Also in the works with Aaron Taylor Johnson, which follows Spider-Man No Way Home, netting over $1.8 billion at the box office. And two Tom Hardy Venom movies, which have made over $1 billion together as well. And then it just explains who Madam Web is and who Sydney Sweeney is. And that's all they wrote. That's... all right, so here's the question, I guess. Who do you think Sydney Sweeney could be playing? Because I don't know if I buy her as Black Cat. That seems, I don't know, out of her grasp, maybe? I don't know. I guess I'm like I've said before, I'm not the biggest Spider-Man reader, so I'm not super well versed with Black Cat. Yeah, I guess it could work. But we're moving along. Transformers BotBots trailer shows off animated comedy Netflix series. Yeah, I don't care. Norman Reedus suffers head injury on the Walking Dead set. We'll be okay. News hit yesterday. Fandemic Tour gave an update on Facebook about a convention appearance and noted Norman Reedus has to postpone due to an injury. We are sending all of our thoughts and positive energy to Norman Reedus. Everyone in our amazing community knows how much he loves his fans, and he wants you to know how terribly he feels about the situation. However, we all want him to do what is best for his health. Yes, we do. Going to be okay. The trades have since confirmed the injury, which occurred on March 11th in Georgia, with Deadline offering Norman Reedus is going to be okay. Suffered a concussion on set. I guess you shouldn't brush that aside necessarily, but it's not exactly the end of the world. He's recovering well and returned to work soon. Thank you to everyone for their concern. It's also reported that the final day of filming has been pushed back as a result of the injury by AMC and production. He will then be appearing in a spinoff, the Carol and Daryl show, which apparently still doesn't have a proper name, but still pretty exciting. Unfortunate, wishing Norman Reedus a speedy recovery. And then we are into territory Wonder Woman Gal Gadot teased for Shazam 2 plot leaks. Ooh. We covered this one in the most recent episode, so we're going to skip it and go here. More rumor territory, though. It seems like, excuse me, it seems likely that Gal Gadot will be appearing as Wonder Woman in Shazam 2. The plot for the film also is said to have leaked online. While speaking with Empire Magazine, Rachel Zegler happened to drop a big hint that Gal Gadot appears as Wonder Woman, as she teased their appearance in Disney's Snow White isn't the first time they have met. And worth a mention is that Gal Gadot is also said to be appearing in The Flash. Yes, this I thought was already kind of confirmed, but yeah. While it's thought that Rachel Zegler is playing the third villain sister in Shazam 2, director David F. Sandberg took to social media to tease that that she is playing Taki Tani, who is an anamorphic tiger in the comics. Dumb. So, lost my window. Shazam does launch December 16th of this year. It was not supposed to come out until early next year, but that's the one of all the big shuffle that we talked about in the last episode that got moved up instead of back, which I think is an interesting choice, but... World of Geekdom is where this one comes from. Possibly a test screening, so be aware spoilers are making their way online. Ooh, there's already a test screening for Shazam? That seems interesting. But yeah, so there you go. And then there's one that I wanted to mention in the last episode, but I felt it was going to be a little bit more appropriate for this situation. So Nicolas Cage wants to play terrifying Egghead in the Batman sequel. Vincent Price as Eggman in the 60s show. That's great. With the Batman likely to get a sequel, Nicolas Cage wants Warner Brothers to let it be known he wants to play Egghead. Nicolas Cage attended recent South by Southwest and was asked if there's any role he wants to play he hasn't played, where he mentions the Batman villain. That's funny. What does it say about the 66? Egghead is a character that was actually created specifically for the 66 show and considers himself the world's smartest criminal. And while, of course, the character is rather eccentric, oh lord, and goofy, the Matt Reeves Batman universe happens to be really serious and dark. So an absolutely terrifying take on Egghead, played by Nicolas Cage, would be pretty cool. Cannot disagree with that. That is a great side-by-side picture, though. Nicolas Cage, full beard. Vincent Price as Egghead with horrible makeup. All right, so that's what we've got on this source. Let's move right along. Let's check Bounding. Not there's usually much, but sometimes they've got some good stuff. Bounding into comics. Mandalorian rumor claims Grogu will use IG-11 as a mech suit. Let's read that one. I feel like I actually have seen this from a couple other different places. A relatively recent rumor for the upcoming third season of The Mandalorian claims that Baby Yoda, aka Grogu, will use IG-11 as a mech suit. New rumor comes from Making Star Wars that bluntly states, I even saw concept art for this, I think, when I was doing research for the last episode, so I don't know. I we're not in research mode, we're just in reading mode, but yeah. Grogu literally sits inside the chest of a modified IG-11 who has been reinforced with Beskar and has been turned into the Foundling's suit of Mandalorian armor. That is kind of badass. On top of IG-11 being Grogu's suit of armor, Making Star Wars also claims that the droid gives him data on probabilities of success and protects the child when need. Wow, that's an interesting idea. Sounds familiar, it should. It's what Rian Johnson did with BB-8 in The Last Jedi. Oh, that's right. The droid hacks a First Order AT-ST walker and blasts the docking bay to smithereens. That's right. I totally forgot that happened. That's how much I've blocked out The Last Jedi from my memory. As for IG-11, if you recall, the droid blew himself up in one of the dumbest moments in The Mandalorian during the show's season one finale. After mowing down numerous stormtroopers while entering a city on Navarro, IG-11 reunites with Din Djarin, Cara Dune, and Greef Karga. The group then flees. This is just recounting exactly what happened. And he, yeah. That would be fun, though. I honestly thought that was, that came from Lucasfilm, but apparently not. Quantic Dream denies Star Wars Eclipse has been delayed amid rumors of development issues. When the headline is that long, like, you give away the good stuff. Elden Ring sales top 12 million copies worldwide. Congratulations, FromSoft. There is word that FromSoft wants to go beyond just one game. I've heard tale of multiple games, but this is a new kind of take on it. Expanding the brand beyond the realm of games. Publisher Bandai Namco has announced that yada yada yada. 705,000 copies a day. That's insane. For comparison, the Dark Souls series as a whole has sold a total of 13 million copies as of March 16th, 2016, 5 years after the launch of the first Dark Souls game and 1 month following the release Dark Souls 3. Huh. Where does it talk about the... Okay, Elden Ring is based on mythological story written by George R. R. Martin. We hope players enjoy a high level of freedom, blah, blah, blah. Get to the part where we're going beyond the game. Further hinting at a possible expansion of the series, Bandai Namco president and CEO Yasuo Miyakawa echoed, "Much effort was placed into creating Elden Ring so that we could exceed the expectations of our fans worldwide. In like manner, we will continue our efforts in expanding the brand beyond the game itself and into everyone's daily life." Really? "We will continue to create enjoyment and fulfillment through entertainment so that we can come closer and connect to our fans around the world." And then it just goes back into sales numbers. But that's impressive. That's huge, man. Disney Hero Academia fans accuse. Nope. Buy My Ape. Nope. Jared Leto says, "Never say never to a Joker return." Eh, that's just him holding out hope. I don't know that there's any base behind that. Halo showrunner Stephen Kane says, "Writing team didn't look at or talk about the game. We talked about the characters and the world." That's a bit of a red flag. This launches later this month, the 24th, I believe. Yeah, something like that. Let's read the article and then we'll get into it. Red flags continue to fly over Paramount Plus's upcoming Halo series. In a recent interview, showrunner Stephen King has revealed that despite penning over 265 drafts of the live-action adaptation, he and the writing team did not look at or talk about the original games in any capacity. I would be interested to see the actual direct quote beyond just those five words. Because in any capacity, if you're talking about the characters, you're talking about the original game. So let's get a little reasonable here. They talked about it. Just not in depth about the mythology and the story necessarily. But even then, they had to have some frame of reference for what the story was. So that's talking about the game as well. So let's cut through the bias, shall we? Kane revealed the Halo Writers Room proud ignorance of Master Chief's original video game outings during a recent interview with Variety, given alongside various members of the production team in promotion of the series' upcoming premiere. Speaking with Trade Outlet, he asserted, "We didn't look at the game. We didn't talk about the game." Maybe he's talking about the first game. We talked about the characters and the world, so I never felt limited by it being a game. I still feel like there's more context to be had here, even though that is a little bit more of a detailed quote. That is a longer, more contextual quote. Turning to the topic of the Master Chief himself, showrunner asserted, "He's everybody, right? He's you, he's me, he's a 6-year-old girl, he's a 15-year-old person in a different country. Whoever plays the game is him." Exactly. That's why he never takes off his helmet. "We're going to tell a story about a man discovering his own humanity," he explained. "In so doing, he's invited the audience to discover that guy's humanity, too." Recalling what he wrote, upwards of 265 drafts of the series, first 9 episodes, of which 10 total comprise Halo's first season, Kane shared his excitement at the chance to put his own stamp on the Bungie-created universe. I don't know. I still think that there's a possibility it's going to be quite good. Even though Cortana looks like that. So here's another red flag. Another red flag was thrown when Paramount Plus Chief Programming Officer Tanya Giles revealed the streaming platform's plan for the series. Quote, "This is a swing for a broad audience," she declared. "My hope is this expands with the Paramount Plus brand, what the Paramount Plus brand can mean." I apologize. However, though, the Halo Writers Room seemed to revel in their refusal to engage with the franchise's source material. The same could not be said of actor Pablo Schreiber, who will star in the series as the regularly helmetless Master Chief. "Quickly realized just how new I was to this medium," Schreiber reminisced. "I spent the first few days of my Halo experience getting killed by grunts." Oof, bro. Maybe get a little up to date on your video game abilities, but you know, whatever. You're just playing one of the most iconic characters in any video game ever, but whatever. Sharing this, I guess he did play the game, so I shouldn't give him too much grief. Sharing his excitement at the world conceived by Bungie, Schreiber marveled, "The richness and depth of the universe was immediately kind of mind-boggling and incredibly exciting." See, and then this is probably why they didn't play the game or really look at it in any sort of great detail, is because there is a rich story that is told in the mythology of Halo. "I'm in the middle of the Halo Infinite campaign right now," he concluded. "I'm having a great time. I'm constantly seeing all the things that are similar in what we are doing on the show." So that's really, really fun. So at least somebody is getting into it. That's part of this production. Bat in the Sun stresses the importance of Batman being in peace. Bat in the Sun is a YouTube channel. What is Bounding in the Comics doing writing about it? "Batman is proving to be another popular blah, 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 blah." There we go. "His belief was fueled by the perception and reports the actor wasn't exercising, and he was happy looking like James Dean as Bruce Wayne. It didn't help matters when he confessed to barely doing anything other than jogging during lockdowns. As a result, debate and contemplation over what kind of physical specimen Batman should be started up again." Everyone weighing in on this is now telling us he has to be in tip-top shape and why that should be so. Here we go. YouTube channel and producers of the series Superpower Beatdown, Bat in the Sun, posted an essay on their Facebook page answering the question, why is it important that Batman is in prime athletic shape? "Because he's classified as peak human. In order to be peak human, he must be in prime athletic shape." To begin with, the Bat in the Sun essay reminds us Batman values prep time and perfects everything, says the post. "Ever since his parents were murdered, he made a vow to protect the innocent and being human. That means he has to use everything in his quest to protect Gotham. Yeah, I don't know why this is really a debate. Blah, 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 blah. I think they're right. All right, so is there a conclusion to this that has any sort of... There's the... So they conclude, if you're okay with a Batman who doesn't have a perfect Olympic athletic level body, then you are simply willing to forgive key character traits of the character that are the very core foundation of the Dark Knight. They are not wrong. Bat and the Sun have done more than just superpower beatdown, though, too. Like, they do Batman shorts, actually. ones that we've highlighted on the channel before. Resurfaced Review accuses Doom Eternal of sexism and transphobia because there's no sex and no women. Bruce Willis allegedly suffering from dementia, being fed lines through an earpiece while performing. That's a rumor that doesn't deserve to be dug into. Bum, 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 bum. Star Trek Discovery makes Democrat Stacey Abrams, oh, blah. After retconning Tim Drake's Robin and making him attracted to men, DC Comics promotes him as part of their pride celebration. Who cares? Research shows real life inspiration for Zorro was Irish, not Spanish. That's funny. All right, I think we have gone as far as we can go there. Let's have a look. Actually, no, I was going to do this one a little bit differently. Where are we at? We are sitting at just over a half an hour. So let's go to Loudwire. We're going to do some music in today's episode because I think this was the one that made me have the thought to begin with. So, James Hetfield's son, James Hetfield of Meatlicka, Metallica for the uninitiated, Caster Hetfield is his name, is in a band as well. The name of his band is Bastardane, which is interesting. They are sludgy stoner rock power trio. It's a little different than what his dad does. And apparently Caster Hetfield is on drums and backing vocals, and he is 21 years old. Wealthy Fantasy is the first single off of this new record called Is This Rage? Huh. Oh, all of their kids are musicians. Lars's sons, Miles and Lane, in Taipei, Houston, and separately Robert Trujillo's son, Ty, in Otto, previously Suspect 208 and Blue Weekend. Huh. That's interesting. I would play it, but again, we are live, so I don't really feel like shutting down the stream that way. If it shuts down because my connection is not all that it once was, then I guess so be it. But by and large, it looks like all of our issues have worked out, but whatever. Good to know. So, finally, Tortilla Man's real identity. Not really anything we need to worry about. Because as long as it's good music, I really don't care who makes it. Well, to a point. Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. That was another one that I heard about on, I believe, on Liquid Metal sometime in the last couple of days on the Sirius XM. I wanted to dig into this as well. Welcome back, Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. I wasn't super big on them when they were around the first time, but I did have an appreciation because they have that like southern metal core kind of thing going on, which He Is Legend does so incredibly well. So like any kind of derivative version of that, I am okay with. But they are reuniting. They announced their first show back will take place September at the Furnace Fest. Oh, hey, let's go look at the... Do they have it? No. Band's future was placed in serious doubt after frontman Dallas Taylor was significantly injured in a 2016 ATV accident. Oh, that's what put them on hiatus, huh? Birmingham, Alabama, weekend of September 23rd to 25th. He had a TBI, apparently. Traumatic brain injury. 2018, the musician's mother offered another health update in which she revealed continued issues with the singer's adrenal gland and thyroid problems. Yikes, man. Undergo eye surgery. In 2021, another update from Taylor's mother followed, revealing that he had double eye surgery in order to stave off blindness. Wow. From his eye's inability to generate moisture. That's pretty cool. Get tickets. Oh, here we go. First day of Furnace Fest. This is when the band will be playing. Has not been confirmed. What? Which day has not been confirmed. All right, so let's check out the lineup for Furnace Fest. Headlining, we have The Ghost Inside. Meh. Newfound Glory. Ugh. Alexis on Fire. Oh, Lord. Advent, never heard of them. Acacia Strain, all right, I'll give them that one. American Nightmare, sounds familiar, but I can't tell you why. Anti-Flag, no thank you. As Friends Rust, never heard of them. Bleeding Through, kind of super glad that they're still making music. That's, I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty awesome. Capra, don't know who that is. Demon Hunter, yes, always. Those guys are pretty badass. Earth Crisis, kind of 50-50. Sometimes they're great and sometimes it's just politics. Elliot, I've heard the name, but I couldn't tell you that I've heard any of the music. Integrity, don't know them. Joy Formidable, know the name, but I couldn't pick them out of a lineup. Just Like Heaven, nothing. Lagwagon's all right. Misery Signals is okay. Shadows Fall. Oh, another Shadows Fall. Hey. Stretch Armstrong is pretty great. Strike Anywhere is pretty great. And Wrist Meat Razor is an interesting name, but probably a little more emo than I care to watch or listen to. That's cool, though. In Alabama, September. You want to go to Alabama in September? Moving right along. Glenn Tipton, Man Who Kicked Goth Woman to Death. Yikes. Released after 15 years. James LeBray. 8-year-old imitates Jonathan Davis on kids' cover of Korn song. Oh, it's those the rock school kids or whatever. They have those videos up on the YouTubes. Nobody cares about MGK. Stop covering him. Petition launched to remove Manson's heart-shaped glasses video. Good Lord. We're not going to get into that one really at all. Preview of Tool's Opiate 2 short film is now available. That's cool. Go check that one out. Sabaton, The War to End All Wars, track by track breakdown. Chino. Oh, that's right. Crosses. I totally forgot about this. I think I saw this when I was doing the research for... Excuse me. I think I saw this when I was doing the research for the last episode. And I, for whatever reason, didn't include it. Or maybe it was... Maybe it was when I was getting the assets when I was editing. Either way. Dark and dreamy electropop act Crosses, which is Chino's side project with founding Far guitarist Sean Lopez... Released two new songs. We have to sit down sometime in the next few days and do a batch of reaction videos. I don't know that I'll do anything to any of the Crosses music, just because that's never been anything that I really dug. But Chino's not the worst, I guess. He's not a great vocalist, but he's artistically inclined in a way that works, I guess is probably a fair way to put that. Apocalyptica, Endless Geezer, yeah, we've already talked about the rest of this, apparently. And Greta Van Fleet should not be covered on a metal outlet's news page. Because, blah. All right, now we're moving into We Got This Covered. And I think we're just going to go to, let's just go to gaming. Actually, no, we're going to go to television and then gaming. Why does Marvel's Juggernaut wear a helmet? This is not news. This is all stuff that you should know or you can learn if you read comic books, because that's where the answers exist. A new book claims Bernie Sanders' team threatened congressional investigation into who is America. That's funny. Game Pass users can watch Halo free on Paramount Plus for 30 days. That's cool. U2 series on Netflix. I don't think that's going to be as popular as they think it's going to be. George R. R. Martin announces new Game of Thrones book, The Rise of the Dragon. What? After announcing updates on the numerous Game of Thrones spinoff shows currently in the works, George R. R. Martin has once again taken to his personal blog to announce that a new illustrated book, set in the world of Westeros, is coming out in October. The Rise of the Dragon is a visual history of House Targaryen, from their rise to power to their conquest of the Seven Kingdoms and ultimate demise. The book features more than 180 new illustrations. That's pretty cool. Is it going to be like a tabletop? Ugh, that the art's a little god. I mean, it kind of goes in line with the rest of the book series, but like a nice like coffee table book, one of those big like art books that you keep on the coffee table would be pretty awesome. But that does not appear to be what this is going to be. If you are interested, is there a release date? I don't think there's a release date. Oh, it set it up here. Out in October. So if you are interested in such a thing, I mean, I want the same thing in a Mortal Kombat, and I have a very small, almost pocket size, two actually, Mortal Kombat art books. So, I mean, it's not to say that it's not for collectors and stuff, but I feel like they could reach a different audience, potentially broader audience, with something more subtle, I guess, and not quite so... Ugh. Boom, moving along. Disney Plus reveals new Obi-Wan Kenobi synopsis. Do we need to see that? Yeah, let's go into there. All right, Disney Plus has released an official synopsis. Let's get to the synopsis. There we go. During the reign of the Galactic Empire, former Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi embarks on a crucial mission. Kenobi must confront allies turned enemies and face the wrath of the Empire. That is a very brief synopsis. Allies turned enemies. So very specifically referencing Anakin. Sarah Michelle Gellar thinks that Zendaya should be the next Buffy. Wait, is that really a thing that's happening? Wasn't that a rumor that they were going to be rebooting Buffy in the TV? Sarah Michelle Gellar has made her choice known for who should lead a Buffy reboot. And it's one of the, yeah, okay, blah, blah, blah. Though Christy Swanson initially played the demon-hunting teen in 92's Buffy movie, it was Gellar who transformed Buffy Summers into a pop culture icon. The Scooby-Doo actress told author Evan Ross, really, Scooby-Doo, that's the reference you're going to make outside of Buffy for sure, Sarah Michelle Gellar. You could have went with, because this is a more mainstream media outlet, you could have gone with the Masters of the Universe voice actress, because that's the more recent and much more nerd relevant, but whatever. I'm not, you know, throwing shade at Scooby-Doo or nothing, but every generation a Slayer is born. How Buffy staked our hearts. That she wants to see Spider-Man No Way Home star Zendaya take the legendary character next. But there's no... Okay, here we go. A Buffy reboot with Monica Osu-Breen attached as showrunner was announced to be in the works back in 2018. Okay, so I'm not losing my mind. This was a thing that we talked about. It's also touted to star a woman of color in the lead, although it's unclear if this would have been Buffy herself or a different character. Unfortunately, that project appears to have died a death following the downfall of Buffy creator Joss Whedon. Sad times. Well, I mean, is that... Does Buffy now belong to... Buffy wasn't a Fox property. Buffy was a Warner Brothers property. So, no, does not belong to Disney. So they cannot reboot it. What are we doing? The Shadow Star to voice Nightwing in Harley Quinn. New casting. Harley Quinn is one of the best comic book shows around. Oh, yes, that is an accurate statement. The anarchic comedy both satirizes the DC universe and tells a genuinely touching story about Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy's blossoming romance. After two killer seasons, it'll soon return for a third on HBO Max, this time focused on whether or not the two characters can maintain a relatively healthy relationship. Probably not, considering it's Harley Quinn, but you know, that's just the way that goes. Now we know that another Bat character will be making an appearance, with Deadline confirming that What We Do in the Shadows' Harvey Guillen will be voicing Dick Grayson / Nightwing. It comes on something of a hot streak for Guillen. As we recently also heard, he's been cast in DC's live-action Blue Beetle. Who is he going to play in Blue Beetle? Dude is not exactly in superhero shape. See if we can get to a picture of him. Nope. And talking about the delay, and it's going to be coming soon. No release date. No release date. Okay. Fair enough. Oh. Damn you, code. All right, back to TV news. All right, this is clickbait. It's totally clickbait, but it's got me. So, Halo star reached out to Pedro Pascal, and it wasn't for helmet advice. New Halo series coming to Paramount Plus stars Pablo Schreiber as Super Soldier Master Chief, and the actor revealed that he called in a favor to another helmeted famous warrior, namely the Mandalorian's Pedro Pascal. Schreiber has been in multiple popular shows, including Orange is the New Black, blah, 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 we don't care. Interview with TV Line, Schreiber disclosed personal request entailed, and it didn't involve the costume. I did call, quoting Schreiber, but I did call Pedro and ask him for a birthday video for my kid, from one helmeted soldier to another. Can I just get a little birthday shout out? He was very amiable to it and sent me one immediately. That's cool. Blah. Okay. I told you, that was totally clickbait, but I was curious. Oscar Isaac names the Marvel hero he'd love to team up with. Daredevil star would return to the MCU in a heartbeat. Samuel L. Jackson might have spoiled Nick Fury's MCU future. Why didn't Chewbacca get his medal in Star Wars? Blah, 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 blah. How long Moon Knight episodes will run for? An hour, duh, roughly. Halo producers wish to bring the mythology to a brand new audience. Yeah, we've covered that. Blah, 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 blah. Nothing good, man. So this is why it takes me 8 to 16 hours to do research for a one-hour show, is because you have to sift through a lot of crap. Lisa Kudrow would love to see Friends rebooted with a new cast. Yeah, right. The lightning struck once. It's not going to strike twice. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, 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 blah. Nothing. Daredevil is not part of the MCU timeline. Okay, so. Let's go to gaming. Elden Ring player hits a wall some 50 times and finds a secret entrance. That's so weird. These games are... Oh, I just bumped the mic. I'm sorry. These games are goofy. Soulsborne series is known for hiding secret chambers or dungeons that players can access by performing certain tasks in the game map. It's almost a tradition amongst Souls players, in fact, to hit every wall with their weapons in hope of finding a secret entrance. Well, as long as you know it's there, or potentially there, anyway. Some areas you can only access by, well, sheer force of persistence. Apparently some fake walls in Elden Ring take multiple hits to reveal, and oh my god, this changes everything. It's a Twitter thing. Yeah, whatever. That's interesting, though. I really gotta get into some FromSoft stuff, because crazy. It looks like a ton of fun. Silent Hill ever come back? Potentially. There are rumors. Will there be another Metal Gear Solid game? Probably not. Sonic 2 character posters, blah, 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 blah. Hideo Kojima receives Japan's most prestigious media award. Former Nintendo CEO isn't buying into the metaverse. Good on you, Reggie Fizem. Russia legalizing video game piracy to avoid sanctions. Dumb. All right. So, we are to that point. This, if you are listening in post, and odds are you are, this will be the end of the news show. Sorry, I'm clicking through things and stuff. So, thank you very much, nerds, for joining me. I'm going to mess with the cord here for a second. So thank you very much, nerds, for joining. It has been a lot of fun, as per usual. Next week, we will not be doing a stream. Some day job scheduling stuff has gotten in the way, so unfortunately, that means stream won't be happening. But you can definitely go check out the YouTube channel, youtube.com/generallynerdy, for all of the back episodes or whatever platform you're on. There should be at least a couple back episodes if you're on the main audio outlet. There's only two. But either way, thank you very much for joining me, nerds. We will see you next week for our regular episode, the regular pre-recorded and fancy episode, and then following that, we should be back to normal the week after. So, thank you again before we head out. Oh, and those of you who are still here, or if you are so intrigued, you want to join me for the VOD for the gaming portion of today's stream, then you can go check out the gaming VODs on the main YouTube channel or on the Facebook gaming page, and we'll see you there. But before we go, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here. And now we are going to be taking a couple minutes break, and we'll be back in just a sec.